I'm talking about the Echoplex trolls over here, guys.
They're ascended masters.
She gets away from you. She wears in a pool of blood and cry.
All your friends say that you're a nice guy.
Have a drink, this one's on me. Look, you're doing fine, losing to your disease. Tomatoes, I'll pack your bags. Bury you alive, cash ready to go.
I'm a nice guy, you're a nice guy. We're all nice guys, but all of you are assholes.
He's a nice guy, she's a nice guy. Hey, Tom, both a nice guy.
All of you are assholes.
Nice guys. A man in a word of pride.
Fuck off, jerk off!
I don't wanna hear it.
Fuck off, jerk off!
Read it to the lyrics. So let the fucking pill quench your thirst. As long as you remember that nice guy's finish first.
Hey everybody, welcome to The Plex. We do this show live every Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific, right here on Twitch. That's twitch.tv/echoplexmedia. You can support this project by going to echoplexmedia.com. Click the support tab, pick your favorite way. I like the merch or just giving me money. Either of those things work. Also, obviously, Twitch viewers, you can subscribe to the channel, throw bits, gift out subs, whatever. That all helps us out around here. I'm producer Dave. You can find me on Grindr, and this is what the people want.
I don't hate the cops. There's a person inside when the truncheon stops. I don't hate the cops. When the raiders come, who will protect the shops? Don't hate the cops. They're a sensitive bunch. If you don't stop throwing your rocks, snap, crackle, pop is the sound of a taser. Your body drops. Don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops, don't hate the cops. your local police. Cause they don't do nothing wrong, like your local police. Got rid of the corruption and the racism is gone. They've been keeping the peace, keeping homeless folks out of the parks and malls. Got a cure for your social disease. Follow the law, don't hate the cops. 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 Put your hands above your head and show you're not afraid. I'm the fairest judge that your skin color's gonna get. And if you die before the sun comes up, the paperwork will take forever. Well, it might have worked out a little bit better if you didn't hate the cops. Cause they don't do nothing wrong, don't hate the cops. You can't blame them for just doing their job, don't hate the cops. Well, you gotta wonder how much would it cost for you to be shot at and stabbed at by maniacs and drunks. Don't hate the cops, don't hate the cops. Don't hate the cops, don't hate the cops.
Well, I guess there was a MAGA-themed Phantom of the Opera at Mar-a-Lago, and we're going to have to watch it. Not all of it, just a minute of it, I promise.
And his power over us grows stronger yet. And though dense turn from you, they glance behind the President of the United States.
The President of America.
You're on, Mr. President. Sing to me. No, sing to me, will you? Just sing.
Yeah.
Okay. Ready? Sing to me, my.
Well. Yeah. Boo. Boo. That was fucking garbage. Oh my god. All right. Well. Show's starting off pretty good here. People be turning, actually, on the former president of the United States. This is one such person. This is apparently somebody who worked at Mar-a-Lago. Be turning. Let's see what they have to say here.
Were there ever any instances when you were still working there that you witnessed where Trump was, in your view, carelessly throwing around national security information?
You know, this really, you know, stood out to me, but in, I believe it was April of 2021, there was a member, Anthony Pratt, who he was coming, he flew in the night before.
He's an Australian billionaire.
He finishes his meeting with the former president, gets in the car, and his chief of staff says, how did the meeting go? Pratt, without saying, just says, he told me, and it would be, you know, U.S. military, you know, classified information of what he told him about Russian submarines and U.S. submarines. And that's really all I remember hearing. And I went, what? You know, I'm thinking this. I'm in the car. I'm like, did I just hear that? So it wasn't like, oh, the meeting went well. We talked about it. It was, he went straight to the point. he told me that the U.S. subs and with the Russian subs and, you know, something that would more than likely in my mind be classified.
So it was clear to you that he was basically seeking access to China.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, red flags went up in my mind years before that.
So Anthony Pratt, this Australian billionaire that you're talking about, he would pay a lot of money to come and have these New Year's Eve parties.
So it might cost $1,000, $1,500 per person. He was giving $1 million.
Whoa.
I think at the height, he had 30 or 40 people there. So something that would be $50,000, let's just say max 50. Here's a guy that's just buying access. It's very easy to see.
Well, yeah. I mean, we kind of already knew that. I didn't remember the guy's name, but I knew there was like an Australian billionaire who was buying access. But this is random employees from fucking Mar-a-Lago be turning on this guy. I think the floodgates are about to open. I think a lot of people about to turn on this guy. I don't think it's going to matter. But I think a lot of people are going to turn on the guy. Up next, we got, here's the former president taking an interview, part of an interview he has with Greg Kelly on Newsmax.
I mean, you've been right a lot, but nobody's right all the time. Is there such a thing as overconfidence? Are you, at this point, tough to advise? Or, I know you got great advisors, but did you learn some negative lessons by being right when they were wrong? And you might think, well, I'm always right. They must always be wrong.
Well, they do have a hat on, and I don't produce it. Somebody else, Trump was right about everything. I mean, if you look at all of these many, many things, I've been right about everything. I've been right about immigration.
I've been right about everything. Even Greg Kelly was like, I wish I would have got more of that. Because he's like, that seems a little, I don't know what he meant. He was probably going to say a little arrogant or something. I don't know what he's going to say. Greg Kelly's a piece of shit. But I mean, come on. This was pretty obvious. But this guy is just out of his fucking mind. So inside his own ego. It's so bad. Here we go. In case anybody was wondering if Trump was planning on paying the people who provide him the teleprompters, here's the answer.
Under Biden, the cost of rent is up 30%. Groceries are up 30%. Everything is up. Chicken's up. Bread is up. And I can't read this damn teleprompter. This sucker is moving around. It's like reading a moving flag at a 35-mile-an-hour wind. And then they say Trump's a bad guy, because I'll say this. Don't pay the teleprompter company. Don't pay.
What the fuck? What, do they control the wind?
Say, Trump didn't pay me. And they'll say, oh, Trump's a horrible human being. He's terrible. They gave me a pile of crap that this is the craziest thing. And look at all the television I have up there. I got all the television. And they won't say that. They'll say, Trump made a speech. It wasn't so good. It wasn't so good. You know?
The teleprompter company control the wind? Like other people have notes in front of them for in case something goes wrong with the teleprompter. I don't know this for a fact, but I just have to assume that other people have notes in front of them. So here we go. Fox is going to do that thing where they talk to people at a diner. And well, this is pretty interesting what happens here, because the guy at the diner starts talking about basically voter fraud and election interference. And if you remember, Fox had to pay kind of a few bucks about that. So interesting to watch here. Like a ninja, this Fox guy. What's going on? Oh, that's weird. In case anybody listening on the podcast was unsure whether or not this is live, this is in fact live. I seem to have lost the view of my web browser here. Hold on, let's see if we can bring it back up here. There we go. Fucking Other people don't do their podcasts live, but I do.
If you, Marcus, how? That's a big ask that you just gave us. So the question that everyone wants to know is how? How do you get rid of corruption in Washington, D.C.?
Well, you have to vote the people out. You have to watch what's going on with the election stuff. There is election fraud, so you got to watch that to make sure that the process is going the way it's supposed to be. And if not, people have to recognize it and be able to call it out and address it.
See, Mark's got the Texas institution right there. Everybody, I know Lawrence knows. I don't know if everybody back there on the couch knows Buc-ee's.
It would be the Buc-ee's. I don't know, though, but the guy was like, oh, don't want to talk to him anymore. We already got sued. He's just like, oh, I'm going to talk about this guy's hat. Up next, we got Fox News. Some of the people on Fox are mad that Joe Biden keeps mentioning that his son, Bo, died. I guess they don't like him mentioning that. I don't know. I don't even think he mentions it that often. But to be honest, I don't spend a lot of time watching Joe Biden speeches, so I'm not sure.
Second thing, I am so sick of him always comparing the death of his children anytime there is an American that is tragically killed. He has to stop doing it. He doesn't know what it feels to have an illegal kill his child. And he's never met with any of the angel parents as well. So
that was crazy. He's never met any of the angel parents. So the angel parents, are those the ones that supposedly had their kids killed by like undocumented immigrants? Is that what angel parent means? That must be. Don't worry. Eric Metaxas has the scoop on this, actually. It's that Joe Biden is a puppet of the devil.
I'm sorry that we have to talk about the State of the Union, the satanic speech given by the, I don't know, what's a generous term I can use, puppet of the devil, Joe Biden. You know, we have to joke around because it's so dark, and it is undeniably dark. It's just undeniable. There's no other word. This man is wicked.
Yes.
There's an absolute.
Her name is Office.
Horrifying malevolence. And so, yeah, people dismiss him as doddering Joe. He's not that bright, whatever. Well,
right.
You know, it's kind of like saying a Gila monster or a cobra is stupid. Yeah, they're stupid.
A Gila monster?
Very, very, very dangerous.
They a Gila monster dangerous?
And that's what we're dealing with in Joe Biden. He is absolutely destructive, evil. And that's why it's hard for me to even watch him, because it's just the level of lying. I have never in my life seen anything approach it. Nothing to approach it.
Learn something new every day. I didn't know that Gila monster lizards were dangerous. But yeah, Eric Metaxas is weird. I like his name, though. It's like Metaxas. Is he a libertarian? I hope he's a libertarian, because that'd be a perfect name for a libertarian. But Metaxas. Up next, here's Sean Hannity just kind of rapid fire going through some things he doesn't like about when people talk about climate change.
A choice between the climate alarmist religious cultists coming for your cars, your appliances, your stoves, refrigerators, freezers, washing machines, even your steak, your red meat, and other food that you eat.
Are they coming for your food and they want you to get a better appliances, generally better refrigerators. I like better refrigerators and better appliances, but maybe everybody else doesn't. Who knows? Maybe I'm the only one who likes better appliances. Up next, we got Laura Ingraham. She hasn't been on the docket as much lately. She's really got to step up her game if we're going to be featuring her more often around here. But here she is talking about illegal immigration and voting.
For Democrats, unlimited immigration means unlimited political power. First, they believe illegals are future Democrat voters. Inevitably, some will even try to vote this November or be encouraged even to vote. And second, illegals are counted in the census, meaning that for all those states like California, Illinois, New York, that have been losing population, illegals could stabilize or even add to the representation in those states in Congress.
Well, why would it? Maybe, I mean, there are going to be people that immigrate to the United States. Maybe one of the political parties would do a better job of appealing to a wider variety of kinds of people. It might be that they get some votes themselves from the people who emigrate to this country. But so people who are not here legally cannot vote. There are limited circumstances in which they can vote in things like school board elections. And those are only in very, very like specific districts of specific cities. Those people aren't, they're not voting in the presidential election. And, you know, once they become citizens, they can. And everybody, all the people that were talking shit about them this whole time, well, guess what? You're not voting for them, are they? Up next, we got Kellyanne Conway. She is offended. I don't know what she's offended about, but we're about to find out.
Last point, I am personally offended, and everybody should be, that Kamala Harris flew to Minnesota on Air Force Two on taxpayer dollars to go to an abortion clinic when her boss, the President of the United States, wouldn't even dare say the word abortion in his State of the Union over an hour. He wouldn't say it. They call it reproductive freedom, women's health care. If they care about women's health care, what about maternal mortality? What about heart disease? What about all the things that are cancer? All the things that are top of the list that are really, truly women's health. She went to an abortion clinic today. She's the abortion czar, and on taxpayer dollars, and they're calling it, Sean, last point, they're calling it, she made history. No other vice president has ever visited an abortion clinic. There's a reason for that, lady. It's a stupid idea.
Why? Like, most people, even most Republicans, think that abortion should be legal. Why? And it's, she probably visited a Planned Parenthood, right? Not, like, it's not like, you know, Joe's Abortion Shack or whatever. It was, I'm almost certain. I don't really cover this stuff that much. It's the only show we do during the week where we even really talk about like the election and like this kind of news. But like Spilly's Abortion Shack, somebody in chat, oh, it's Pridemore. Someone in chat is very funny. If you're listening to this, by the way, on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, you should definitely come check out Twitch. The chat's cracking jokes during the podcast. And I don't always, sometimes they're funny enough that I notice them. Anyway, here is a great speech at the school board where next Benedict was killed. Usually when we play stuff from school board meetings, it's hot garbage, but this is pretty good.
I understand we have one speaker, Mr. Walter Masterson. Mr. Masterson.
A more, you know, woke school board would see the death of a child and work to make sure it never happens again. Not this board. This board sees a dead kid and says, that's a good start, because this school board signed up to protect all children. And by all children, they mean these children, not so much these children. Hate us if you want, but, you know, we're the good guys. We want to let kids be kids, and there's nothing more unnatural than a teenager experimenting with their identity. It has never happened before and should be punished. We're the good guys. We'll spit on a kid's grave, blame the parents, and tell our teenagers to hit them harder. We're the good guys. When we heard that a trans child had been beaten to death, our state senator, Tom Woods, immediately released a statement. We don't want that filth in Oklahoma. We can call children filth, even the dead ones, because, you know, we're the good guys, right? And if we're wrong, if God doesn't want us driving off the lepers and deviants and worshiping the bankers, if our God doesn't want us casting the first stone, if our God doesn't want us loving people despite their differences, well, if we're wrong, then I guess I'll see you all in hell. Thank you.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. I didn't know it was going to end that way. Oh, that was pretty strong at the end there. That was a great speech. Up next, we got, apparently if you've been vaccinated, you're not even human anymore. This kind of stuff usually goes in red light, but I figured, we'll put this in the regular docket this week. Did you know that if you're not human anymore?
Anybody who took a Pfizer is owned by Pfizer. Anybody who take a Moderna is owned by Moderna. And they're calling the species Borg Genesis. It's not even human anymore. It's called Borg Genesis.
What? It's not even human.
The people who took the vaccine, they're not considered human anymore.
Wait, the people who got the vaccine are no longer human?
No, and they're actually owned. They're enslaved by Pfizer or Moderna, whoever they took the shot. So they're public. They're their property.
People who took the vaccine are owned by Pfizer now and are not human.
Genetics has changed, so they're not human anymore. So they're a Borg Genesis. Genesis that's owned by
Pfizer. Borg Genesis, everybody. We're the fucking Borg Genesis.
It's owned by.
And there you have it. We are in Laguna Hills talking to people. Apparently, if you've taken the vaccine, oh, you shit, are no longer born. Human.
Resistance is futile.
That's where I was born. That's crazy. I didn't know Laguna Hills was more like Laguna Pills. My God. Anyway, that was pretty fun. I saw this, and I know it's from a long time ago, but I had to put it on the docket because I saw it, and, well, it's one of those things that since I saw it, you as well are going to have to see it. I'm not even sorry. This is, like, the most fucking, like, cooked brain, fucking blue wave, fucking in profile picture shitlib garbage in the world. Well, check this out.
Watch Hillary examine the terrain. Watch a campaign with the man Tim Kaine. Tim Kaine in the membrane. Tim Kaine in the brain. Number four.
Hillary makes each decision, looking at the world from a rarefied position. A public servant with tenacity, agility.
Mi gente, experience is not a liability. Five. Now we all know this is the time when the other side tries to fly low, we go high. We know that our Hillary's no quitter. We watch as our opponent sits and fiddles with his Twitter.
Seven.
Confession time, all in the...
That was worse than most of the stuff we've seen on Fire by Night. I can't believe somebody got up on a stage and fucking did that. That Tim Kaine in the membrane. Up next, we got Oklahoma Senator Dusty Devers, and he's going to ask, who do you serve? It's part of a longer video, but I do have a timestamp here. Shout out to Right Wing Watch.
Who do you serve? You don't serve a wimp, a limp-wristed gay king.
Yeah, you do. I think that's enough of that. That's enough of that. I don't know. Am I a limp-wristed gay king? I don't know. You don't serve me, but you pay me to do this for some reason. And don't worry, he's from this same speech. Here's him. Are you willing to go to war for a Jesus?
Jesus, your warrior king, has summoned you. He has commanded your formation for battle. Line up, men. Your charge is to fight the king's battle with the king's weapons, to fight on his battlefront, to make offensive war on the gates of hell, and to prevail, to push the lines ever forward, to extend the dynasty and the dominion of our king who rules from on high, and every enemy will bow. Amen. He will footstool every enemy, and this world will be dominionized, and it will glory reflect like the...
No, they don't mean the dominion voting machines, though. They're against those. They're talking Christian dominionists.
Waters cover the sea. The world will be conquered, and the conquerors will sit with King Jesus on his throne. Amen. Men, it is no time for shrinking back. Know this.
No shrinkage.
You will suffer. You will be called to share in the sufferings of our King, but they cannot be compared to the eternal weight of glory that is to be revealed to you. In your groaning, you will grow. In your mourning, you will hope. In your struggle, you will triumph. So keep your eyes on our loving, crucified, but resurrected warrior King, Jesus.
No thanks. So that guy's fucking crazy. That guy's fucking crazy. I think he's going to probably get voted out even in Oklahoma because he's fucking crazy. Well, who knows, though? It's possible that he gets to keep his job. So we're already to our palate cleanser. I feel like we're going to have a short podcast part of the show this week, but that's fine. We'll just have extra red light. So I want to, this comes from Reddit. Don't usually find a lot of stuff from Reddit, but this one is from Reddit. And why? Oh, it's making me log in. Okay, fuck Reddit. All right. So this is our palate cleanser. It's a cow, and it's a cow at a wedding.
In order to proceed, I must now ask if any person here... If any person here present knows of any lawful impediment, I should not be joined in matrimony.
The cow about to spill the tea. The cow knows why. Cow knows the secrets. They're not supposed to be getting married. The cow said so. So this, we haven't covered this guy a lot lately, or even, we just don't cover him very often, but his name is Kent Christmas, and I think he owes a lot of money, and he's going to make the claim that his debts are not valid.
Deuteronomy chapter 28, somewhere in the middle there, God makes this statement about people who would obey his commandments and walk in his statutes. He said, you will be the lender and not the borrower. So today, in the name of Jesus, this lie of $12 million that we owe to the bank, it is challenging the word that cannot be changed or altered.
That's pretty great. He's like, oh, actually, when I agreed to this loan from the bank, actually, it was fine. We consented. The contract is valid, but did God consent? I don't think so.
It is challenging the word of God over this building.
So he can't make his mortgage payment.
So we declare in the name of the Lord that we are imposing the law of heaven over this illegal debt, not against the bank, but against the devourer that's in the atmosphere that wants to distract us and put a burden on us of trying to make mortgages. We declare the name of the Lord. I take dominion as the pastor of this house over this illegal debt, this lie of hell that is violating the word of the Lord.
Damn, dude, just sell your church and get a smaller church. Because like if you don't pay your fucking thing, the sheriff comes. Like the sheriff's not going to be wanting to hear none of this Jesus says I don't have to pay my debts shit. I don't know, maybe the sheriff will be wanting to hear it. Who knows? But that's pretty funny that this guy like took out a giant loan for like a mega church. And apparently maybe his mega church isn't bringing in the kind of money he thought it would. And we'll call it failure to grift. So now he can't make his mortgage. And he's like instead of like asking people like to support his project, he's saying that this is all illegal. I think this may be a way of him trying to get people to give him money to pay the mortgage. I don't know. It doesn't seem great. So apparently, this comes from Chud's of TikTok. Apparently, one of the J6ers ran away to seek asylum in Russia. If I understand correctly, here's a clip of that guy.
Question I'm asked quite a lot. Do I miss America? You're damn right I miss home. I miss my environment. I miss my friends, my family, living on the river, living near the ocean, being surrounded by people who cared about me, having a net to fall back on. And here I have nothing. I have very few friends. I have no family. It's me against the world. But let's talk about this. You see, people like to comment, they like to say things like that I am a traitor for leaving the United States of America. But let's talk about why I left the United States of America. You see, I left the United States of America because there are injustices occurring and they're being committed by the United States government against citizens who are being held without bond, against their constitutional rights.
That's where the door went.
stripping them of their constitutional rights via the Patriot Act for simply entering a building that they were told that they could enter by Capitol Police. And I recorded this, and I had evidence of this.
And what we happened? Watched J6 on this channel. His version of events conflicts with what we watched from a multitude of live streams.
Happened. I got a knock on my door from the FBI. They seized everything. Everything. All of my accounts, over 1 million followers, everything's gone. Because
they took his Twitter account. Like, they took his followers. That's fucking, that's cold. That's stone cold. They took his fucking followers.
I didn't want you, the average citizen, to realize their corruption. They didn't want you to realize that they're holding people without bond indefinitely in solitary confinement. So they took all of the evidence so that you couldn't view. So you can call me a traitor. That's fine.
I'm not big on patriotism, but I think this guy's a traitor.
Deep down, we all know that true patriots continue to speak out. And I risked everything. I gave up everything. I gave up the river, the beach, the friends, the family to come to another country so that I could speak out against the injustice being committed against these people held in prisons. Call me a traitor. Call me what you will. It's fine. I don't care. I'm happy you're here. I'm free here. I don't have the FBI.
You don't seem happier there. As described, you're very unhappy there. You don't have any friends, you don't have any family.
My door. And the government isn't persecuting me. And the government's here, believe it or not, whether you want to believe it or not,
took all my Twitch bits.
Isn't arresting people for speaking out against them. You can believe CNN, you can believe Teddy's cousins, uncles, daddies, sisters, best friends, information that it's misinformation.
I think he lied about like how he's happy where he's at. He didn't seem happy at all when he started talking about like missing the beach and the river and shit. He seemed like he was sad, and it is sad. But nobody made him leave. Well, I don't think anybody made him leave. I mean, I don't know. Did I make him leave? Maybe I made him leave. The FBI? I don't know. They took his followers though. Everybody, they took his followers. Like, could you imagine if they took your followers from you? Like, if they took all 5,087 of my followers from me, I would have nothing. I'd have to move to Russia. Anyway, here's Ted Nugent, just 10 seconds of him. It's Ted Nugent versus Cheerios. Fuck Cheerios.
Well, that's your opinion. No, but the evidence is irrefutable unless you're living under a rock or you put LSD on your USDA-authorized chemical warfare Cheerios in the morning.
Cheerios are USDA-authorized chemical warfare. That's what they are. Chemical warfare. It's terrifying, scary. Call it scarifying. So up next we got Rick Schroeder. He's not doing so great. Remember Ricky Schroeder? He was from I don't even remember, was it Silver Spoons? Was he on Silver Spoons? Anyway, this is Rick Schroeder. He's on, oh, they called him Ricky Schroeder on this. It looks like he's on whatever Flashpoint is. I keep forgetting what, like, which one of these dumb shows is done by who. I forget who's doing Flashpoint, but here's Rick Schroeder. He seems upset. He also looks a little like The Quartering, kind of.
Yeah, I never really fit in Hollywood. I was always kind of an outsider there, never invited to the right parties or knew the right people because I was an outsider.
Do you believe that people are waking up to the message about Hollywood?
Well, I believe they need to. The programming is thick coming out of Hollywood and the conditioning to the American population. You know, here's a couple examples that come to mind, like this new movie Migration on Disney. It's good about migration because the ducks survive and the geese survive. It's a child's animated movie. And so, you know, now if you look at the news cycle, everybody's talking about migrants. they start with the children, conditioning them that migration is a good thing because it helps the ducks and the geese, for example. So it must be a good thing because it helps people. And they don't want us to use the word illegal immigrants or illegal aliens. And so the conditioning out of Hollywood, the programming is intense.
So they should never teach the kids about migration patterns of birds because it'll indoctrinate the kids. You heard it here first from disgraced former actor Rick Schroeder. So I thought about watching this whole thing during red light, but I don't feel like it. So we're just going to watch a clip of this. This is Apartheid Clyde, Elon Musk, talking to Don Lemon from CNN. Just a clip of it. You should maybe go watch the whole thing if you want.
You talk about your ketamine use and depression. You also have said, and
the reason I should say, like the reason I mentioned the ketamine prescription on the X platform was because I thought maybe this is something that could help other people. Mm-hmm. That's why I mentioned it. Obviously, I'm not a doctor, but I would say if someone has depression issues, they should consider talking to their doctor about ketamine instead of SSRIs.
Yeah. Very civil conversation, but yes. That is where it got very personal.
Well, it got personal, but I didn't put that out there. He has spoken very freely about his use of, those are prescription drugs, but about his use of ketamine. I would not have brought it up.
He posted it.
He posted it. Yeah. And so I would not have brought it up because that's someone's personal information. So I asked him about it. Also, it's no secret. His drug use, or alleged drug use, I should say, has been extensively written about it by very credible news organizations like the Wall Street Journal. And I asked him that, and he said, listen, I have not read the Wall Street Journal. I don't read the Wall Street Journal. If I don't have time to read about everything that people write about me, I would never get anything done. But also, if we remember, on Joe Rogan, he took a puff of marijuana.
Right? Oh, who cares?
It was just right. A joke, and I only took one puff. Elon Musk is responsible for satellites, for Starlink.
He's no, other people are.
For Tesla.
Thankfully.
He's responsible for a number of different companies on the in the stock market.
Yep.
And I think that it is important for people to understand his mindset, whether he's using drugs legally or not, and even if the ones he's ones that he's supposed to be, that he is using prescription-wise, that he's following a doctor's orders under that. Mm. But yes, he's one of the most consequential people to the planet. And that was one reason why I was attracted to 2X.
Right. Obviously, we don't have any evidence either way on his drug use, but I think it's important that it comes up. Obviously, we've got a clip there. There's more.
CNN did not report that. The Wall Street Journal strictly reported that. That was not my reporting, but I had to ask him about it. And I also asked him if he was concerned about another Biden administration. One reason I wanted to ask him those questions is if he was going to lose his security clearance because of that, or he might be in jeopardy of losing his security clearance. And he said no, because he did say to me, I do not use drugs illegally. I have random drug tests, and I've always passed those drug tests.
So actually, the thing that was troubling to me about those articles wasn't so much that he's using drugs. It's up to him. If he wants to fucking take acid or fucking do ketamine or whatever, that's fine. But it seemed like from one of the articles I was reading that he was like trying to pressure other people on the boards of directors of these companies to like do drugs with him as some kind of fucking bonding experience. And it's like, dude, you're a fucking adult. Like, why are you trying to peer pressure other people on the board of directors of a company to get high with you? That's fucking weird. Like, that's not an adult behavior. Anyway, up next, we're getting close to the end of the docket here, actually. The podcast part of the show is going to be pretty short tonight, but we got Ben Shapiro. He's talking about retirement and Social Security, because of course he is.
Okay, so that's really not a lot of daylight in terms of, you know, he's going to make wholesale changes to Social Security or something. It's enough for Biden to try and press him on it. So according to Politico, after committing during his State of the Union address to stop anyone in Congress who tries to raise the retirement age for Social Security benefits, Biden's budget instead calls for raising taxes on high earners to keep Social Security and Medicare from hitting insolvency within the next decade. Now, again, realistically speaking, that's not going to save anybody. The population,
they're not going to hit insolvency. That's not true. At the current rate, in something like 35 years, if we don't raise the cap on the payroll tax or whatever, it'll pay out 70% of what it's supposed to pay out.
It's aging way too fast for that. They're not enough high income taxpayers even to pay for the kinds of bills that Joe Biden wants to pay for here. And let's be real about this. It's insane that we haven't raised the retirement age in the United States. It's totally crazy. Joe Biden, If that were the case, Joe Biden should not be running for president. Hey, Joe Biden is 81 years old. The retirement age in the United States at which you start to receive Social Security and you are eligible for Medicare is 65. Joe Biden has technically been eligible for Social Security and Medicare for 16 years, and he wants
to... But retirement is optional. You're eligible for these things. You got to retire. I probably won't retire at 65.
Continue in office until he is 86, which is 19 years past when he would be eligible for retirement. No one in the United States should be retiring at 21 years old. Frankly, I think retirement itself is a stupid idea unless you have some sort of health problem. Everybody that I know who is elderly, who has retired, is dead within 5 years. And if you talk to people who are elderly and they lose their purpose in life by losing their job and they stop working, things go to hell in a handbasket real quick. But put all of that aside,
you know,
just on a fiscal level and on a logical level. When Franklin Delano Roosevelt established 65 as the retirement age, the average life expectancy in the United States was 63 years old. Today, the average life expectancy in the United States is close to 80. It's totally insane that you believe that you should be able to work from the time that you are essentially 20 to the time that you are 65, which is a 45-year period, pay in, and then you will receive Social Security benefits sufficient to support you and your family, you and your wife or whatever, for like another 20 years. That's crazy talk. That is not fiscally sustainable. The notion that if you have to raise the retirement age to 67 or 68, that everyone is going to fall apart. My parents are that age. My parents are not retired.
All right.
And they shouldn't retire. It would be very bad for them to retire.
Why?
By the way, it's disrespectful to people who are 67, 68, 69 years old to suggest that they are in the same shape as people who are 65 were in 1940.
But nobody's suggesting that.
At all. Have you met a 65-year-old lately? 65-year-olds are not old in the United States. They're not. 68-year-olds are not old in the United States. Again, Joe Biden thinks he's not old, and that dude is running for president again, and that dude actually is old, and he's 81. I failed to see how a country in which our entire leadership class is 80 plus is telling you that we should have a retirement age of 65. It makes no sense at all.
That's because they know, I mean, they know not everybody's rich. Like, what the fuck? Here's more from Tiny Dancer Ben on this subject.
Okay, so let's say that you took your money and the government took your money. They took 5% of your money. They put it in a box somewhere. They invested it in the stock market. They left it there for 50 years. And now it's time for you to get your Social Security. That would not be an entitlement. That would be you getting your money back. And in fact, that's what George W. Bush proposed when he came to the privatization of Social Security. What he suggested is that the government mandate that you take a certain amount of your money and put it into old age savings, and then you could decide whether it was put into stocks or bonds or real estate or whatever else it was. Okay, that would be one thing. That's not what Social Security is. Social Security is a pyramid scheme. Here's the question. How much money did you put into Social Security over your lifetime, and how much are you taking out? So to take my grandmother as an example. So my grandmother, over the course of her lifetime, she probably put in several tens of thousands of dollars into Social Security over the course of her lifetime. Then she lived from the time that she was 65 until the time that she was in her early 90s. And during that entire time, she received Social Security. And she was not receiving thousands of dollars per year. She was receiving thousands of dollars per month. Where's that money coming from? It wasn't coming from the lockbox that she had created. What makes an entitlement not a thing that you paid in and just get out is the difference between what you paid in and what you get out. If what you're getting out is way more than what you paid in, that money's coming from somewhere. Then what you got is a pyramid scheme, which is effectively what Social Security is. It relies on me paying my Social Security taxes, which I will never see again, so that my grandmother... Now, here's the thing. I didn't need to do that. I ended up paying many of my grandmother's bills in the last years of her life because she had to be in a nursing home and all the rest of it. And I would have done that without Social Security being there. Social Security has perverted the relationship between the generations in the United States in a pretty astounding way. It used to be that as people got older, their family took care of them. And the symbiotic relationship was that grandpa had wisdom and grandma had wisdom and they had childcare ability and they would be a part of the family structure all the way until their demise. And you would take care of them. And that was the deal. And now parents get to a certain age and kids cut them loose. And they say the government's got charge of them because the government's going to take care of it. It's very, very bad for the country. It's very bad for the elderly who are cut off from other generations. One of the
things
that keeps people young is intergenerational contact.
Is he suggesting to me that because I'm not having to worry about supporting my retired parents that we are now cut off from each other, that we are less likely to spend time together. Is that the thing that he just said? Because that's weird. That's like, that doesn't make any sense. Like, we're more likely to do things like go on vacation, go out to dinner and whatnot, if they're financially stable and I'm making money, to the extent that I make money doing this. So I think we spend more time together, because if they weren't, I mean, I could just go to their house, I suppose, but if they weren't financially stable, maybe they wouldn't have a house. Maybe they wouldn't have all that stuff. Like, I don't know what the situation would be, but like, this is not a thing that prevents you from spending time together. Like, that's dumb. Anyway, we got Matt Walsh here talking about retirement and Social Security too, because, you know, where goes Tiny Dancer Ben, so goes Matt Walsh.
Social Security is, without a doubt, without a shadow of a doubt, an unsustainable, unfair, morally atrocious, and economically insane system that is only defended by both parties because it is politically unpopular to be honest about it. But I'm not a politician running for office, so I can be honest about it. The system is a farce, and it should be abolished, obviously. That doesn't mean we should abolish it overnight. Doesn't mean we should leave elderly people high and dry with no safety net. All it means is that the current system is a disaster on every level, and we should be looking for a way out. The conversation should be, how do we get out of this boondoggle without harming people? But we can't have that conversation because most politicians on both sides have declared that this awful, insane, unsustainable, self-destructing system must be kept entirely intact and untouched and allowed to continue exactly as it is until it all falls apart anyway. Again, that is not a position that anyone has taken because they think it's the right position. It's a position taken out of pure cowardice and cynicism.
So, a long time ago, I had to debate somebody, and I thought Social Security was going to come up. And what I believe it was what CBO says is that if we don't do anything, Social Security is going to, I think by 2040, 2035, something like that, it will pay out 70 or 80% of benefits. Because Social Security is a regressive tax. I forget what the cap is now. It's like $115,000 or whatever. After you make $115,000 on your payroll, you're no longer paying Social Security tax. You're no longer paying that. So the solution to this is actually just to lift the cap. Lift it to like 150, 160, 170. Oh, somebody in chat just corrected me. It's 160. Okay, well, no, don't be sorry. I was wrong, so don't be sorry. So if we lift that to, say, 250, that's going to make it solvent for longer. And if we lift it to where basically all income is captured by the Social Security tax, then it's Social Security and Medicare are going to be solvent for a timeline beyond what any economist is comfortable predicting. Now, as far as I know, that's still the case. It could be different, but I think that's still the case. And this is because, like, things like capital gains aren't captured by it. Pass through, if you own a business and you do some pass through income, it's often not captured. So we need to fix those things, and Social Security will be fine. The problem is the rich people don't want to do that. They don't want to do that at all. Other people have suggested means testing, and I don't like means testing because it just fucking makes things really complicated. People will game that. So I say means test it on the front end. Means test it by those who have the means can give more, and those who don't give less. That's the kind of means testing I'm into. And we got one more set of clips. This is from the Bad Stats. James Lindsay went on a Joe Rogan for 3 hours. We don't run Joe Rogan in long form on here because I hear he's pretty litigious and will copyright claim your stuff. So, but we can run some clips here. Here's Boeing intentionally used diversity, equity, and inclusion to destroy their company. This is the first thing we're going to learn.
Do you want to put the tinfoil hat back on? I got an explanation.
Okay.
Okay. So earlier I said that the goal is to degrow the West and facilitate China's rise. Okay, so what's happening? Boeing 737, Boeing 737, Boeing, Boeing, Boeing. We see all this DEI stuff at Boeing. We see all these problems. We just see this guy that committed suicide. That
the whistleblower.
Whistleblower against Boeing, who was saying some deep stuff, like that they were intentionally fitting bogus parts. I don't know if this is true, but that's what he was alleging. And then all of a sudden he, you know, decided it was a good day to kill himself right before his deposition he was supposed to go to. And so—
We don't know. It's
weird timing, but—
That seems a little fishy to me too, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, fucking shit happens.
What's going— He's saying that that Boeing could be construed, let's suggest, as though it's deliberately committing suicide as an organization. It's cutting corners. It's locked in by this ESG DEI stuff. That's it. The easy question is, why is DEI? Because ESG. It's the S in ESG. But little do most Americans realize, in addition to scaring the hell out of people and getting people to fly less,
what?
China just released a new jet like 2 years ago called the Comac C919 that is a direct competitor to the Boeing 737.
Okay.
So maybe you kill Boeing and you allow American manufacturing of high quality aircraft to fall, and then the Chinese competitor is now the thing on the market that doesn't have this bad rap sheet and this risk factor. Maybe it's big, dirty international business.
But it doesn't have a track record. So I think people, I think companies might be less inclined to use it just because there's no track record there. And this is a lot, there's much ado about almost nothing on this Boeing thing. That aircraft has been in the, has been flying for a very long time and actually has a pretty good track record for safety. Just there were a couple high profile problems. I'd get on a Boeing 737, no fucking problem. More dangerous getting in a fucking Uber to drive to the airport than getting on that Boeing 737. Here's another clip from that interview.
China is the model. We're seeing it build out in the West. This stuff, like, we now are seeing proof. It just came out the other day that the Chinese are, like, funding the trans stuff. They're, like, yes, pushing it, right? I just wrote a book. I didn't even know that, to put it in the book. I wrote a book about the trans stuff. It just came out on the 29th. Called The Queering of the American Child, to talk about how schools have been turned into like indoctrination centers. It all goes back to the not just Marxist but Maoist strategy to make the world conform, that politics of compliance, to make the world conform to this new ideological vision that they have. And
I mean, if you're just gonna fucking make shit up about your moral panic, you might as well just say it's the fucking Chinese. Fucking why not? Let it all hang out. Just fuck, say whatever, say anything. 2024, like what? Like this doesn't have anything to do with— none of this has anything to do with China. You know, they're a global adversary of ours, so they may be watching in this with glee, but that's different than them initiating it.
Is there like someone who's actually saying that it would be a good idea if we connected health and fitness to right-wing extremism, so that you would be scared to be fit and healthy? Like, well, that's the full— you want to go full tinfoil hat. Who do you want to have a war with? Do you want to have a war with Trump supporters, or do you want to have a war with the people who wear pink hats? And
well, but if you went to war with the United States, you'd go to war with the United States military. You would mostly be going to war with the machines of war. You would not be— you're not like out in the field like bayoneting people. What is there? This is some fucking— this is some like gladiator version of war that they like fucking Christurbate to. It doesn't exist.
Or mad
like at, our health ministers.
Yeah, exactly. What do you— which war do you want to go to? The people that are unhealthy, I'll fight them all day long.
Yeah,
they're gonna quit.
Yeah, but if they're unhealthy and they're just sitting there piloting a drone. Also, the idea that the American military is full of people who aren't like in fairly good shape. Like, this is just fucking— it's just fucking incorrect. Physical training is as tough as it's ever been. It's crazy. So, here's the last clip from this that we're going to play. I don't encourage everybody to go watch the whole thing, but you could if you wanted to.
If you can keep it so there's no equality of opportunity, if you can keep it that way, you're never going to really get a meritocracy, and that would be a better way to control it.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, this is full tinfoil hat. Like, the reason why all these social justice people are like so excited about pumping billions of dollars into Ukraine and billions of dollars into whatever's happening with Israel and Palestine, but zero talk about doing that to Baltimore, zero talk about doing that to Detroit.
Wait, what?
Like Maui.
That's the only, well, Maui is, that's a different thing, but that is also.
That's the directed energy weapons.
Another thing.
But no, I feel you, because the crime.
Yeah, crime. Like, hey, there's got to be a way to fix this. There's got to be some sort of a solution. But if you don't, if we never get, not in 10 or 20 years, never get to equality of opportunity, you're always going to have a certain amount of disenfranchised people. You have a portion of your population for sure that's going to be in trouble. They're going to have problems. Then you always got solutions. You've got opportunities. You've got like this little moving game.
Yeah.
If everything is even, and then it's just competition, and then America thrives to be the greatest utopian idea of what we had hoped it would be, well, then it's really difficult to control people, because they recognize that freedom is one of the most important aspects of having this kind of amazing opportunity to do whatever the fuck you want.
Brother, this is why I wear a tinfoil hat now all the time, basically. Except I'm not really afraid of the radio waves, so I don't really wear a tinfoil hat at all. I'm more afraid that this is intentional.
So this equality of opportunity thing is bullshit, and here's why. You're born to people who have means. They may have meager means, they may be people of means, and that is going to dictate a large part of your opportunity as the next generation. So the reason for putting the thumb on the scale of the output to the extent that we are of the outcomes of people, to the extent that we even do that, is because people who think about it for 30 seconds recognize that equality of opportunity for Gen X, for example, was going to be influenced on how equal the outcome was for our older boomer parents. My parents did pretty well. I had more opportunity than people whose parents didn't do as well. This seems obvious. So to create this equality of opportunity, you're going to have to put your thumb on the outcome. Otherwise, people are never going to have equality of opportunity. And if you don't put your thumb on the scale of the outcome at all, the outcome gap is going to widen. And with that, the opportunity gap is going to widen. There's just nothing you can do about it in a capitalist society. If money talks, then I guess money talks. And then if you don't get to talk much, I guess fucking your kids don't have much opportunity because nobody listening to you. I guess that's the pod. Thanks everybody for tuning into the podcast. This was only an hour, which is crazy, but that's fine. You can catch the whole rest of the show if you want to tune in live sometime, twitch.tv/Echoplex Media. This particular show is on Sunday night at 7 p.m. Pacific. There's other shows live. We're live every day now, Monday, Tuesday morning, and then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday night. Show times are anywhere between 7 and 9 p.m. And oftentimes things go a pretty late here. Also on Mondays, check out, it's on Raid Pal. Just search for Echoplex Media on Raid Pal. We do noon to midnight DJ Raid Train. We call it Mixy Mondays. I usually play at 7 or 8 p.m. Pacific right after we record our tech podcast. That's How the Tech Are You. I guess you should also check that out. I don't talk about that like ever on stream or on the other pods. And with that, I guess I'm going to change the color of the lights in my studio, pour myself a cocktail, and we're going to go into red light. This is Boomers by Periscope. Live listeners, live viewers, stick around. And the podcast people, goodbye.